like those lyrics. For the Lord our God is mighty. For the Lord our God is omnipotent. For the Lord our God is wonderful. You ever process that? He's mighty. He has strength. But he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. There's limits to strength in our context. Because we all know that we can do a lot of things, but we have our limits. You ever reached your limit, your breaking point, right? You tried all you can do, but you got to a point where you can't go any further. So the Lord our God is mighty. He is power. But when you say he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful. That means that he has no breaking point. He has no limitation. It's the very reason that it's important for us to connect with him over and over and over again throughout our week, because he has no limitation. So, you know, the other day, I ran into an issue at work, and I had to call the IT guy, right, to try to fix that issue. But because our IT guy in our national office is not physically in our office, he can only do so much from a distance. He had limitations. And sometimes we don't reach out to people because we know their limitations. So we think to ourselves, they can't help us. But here's the truth that we have to understand is that we can always reach out to God because there is no limits. No matter how far you may feel from him, you can still reach out to him because he's all powerful. That means he can fix your situation remotely. He can change your circumstance no matter how far you may feel from him. And so just for a moment before we get into a talk or anything else, I think it's important. I mean, we come to church because we want to connect with one another. And I know some of y'all watching online right now. And so, you know, you're connecting with maybe the people that you're with. But I think we should just take 30 seconds and just connect with this all-powerful God. Just take 30 seconds to say whatever you need to say to him. Just whatever you need to say. Wherever you are in your life right now, no matter what's happening, no matter what type of event you're going through, no matter how catastrophic it may be, just take 30 seconds to say whatever you need to say to him. He's all-powerful. Whatever you need him to know, he already knows because he's omniscient, right? But just say whatever you need to say. You got like 15 seconds left. Just say whatever you need to say. God, thank you for using me. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for not forgetting about me. Thank you for providing. I don't know how the bill is going to get paid, Lord, but thank you because I know you're not going to let me down. Just whatever you need to say to him, just take 5 more seconds to connect with God in your own special way. And God, as we come to this place where we need to hear from you, I pray that as people across this room and in the cyber world are connecting with you right now, that you would show them how all-powerful you really are. I pray that you will remote into their lives right now and bring things right that has gone wrong. I pray that you would heal bodies, heal hearts, heal souls. God, I pray for parents who may be struggling with children right now, that you would give them wisdom. Pray for relationships, God, that are struggling right now and that are on the verge of breaking, that you would show them a way. I pray for individuals now, God, who has reached their limits. They don't know what to do. I pray that you would give wisdom and insight. At this time, God, as we sit at your feet to hear from you, pray that you would speak to us. God, I'm so humbled that you would use this broken vessel today. And I pray that you can speak through my brokenness and still use this vessel to feed your people. And so, Lord God, today we don't need another exposition. We need a revelation of you. And so, God, would you reveal yourself to us today in a way that's new and life-giving, that each of us, including myself, will be edified from hearing from you, that we would change course, that we would have wisdom to make it through the next week. We thank you for our time of worship, and now as we get into the word, we pray that you would just speak to us, give us life. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's give it up for our praise and worship team again. I'm so grateful for them, and it's just good to be here again. I love this. I was just telling Al in the study that you all have such a sweet congregation here. I love being here with you here at Encounter Life Church. This is life. And I'm so grateful that I have the opportunity to encounter with you now with my new appointment that I took now 3 years ago. I don't get a chance to be in congregational ministry because I oversee 462 ministers across the nation from Alaska to Puerto Rico at Volunteers of America in our ministry of service. We're a human services organization, but we're a ministry as well. And so we understand that human services can't happen without God's involvement. And so we are grateful that we have individuals that marry their vocation and their passion and their purpose and their faith together to serve humanity. And so I get a chance to lead that ministry there, which is exciting, but it sends me all over the place. But I don't get the chance to kind of walk with congregations as much as I was when I was on staff at Zion. So it's good to be back with a congregation on this Sunday. I get a chance to kind of get this passion of mine filled when I can come and visit. And you and I have something in common, and that is our love for the leadership here at this church, Pastor McKinney, who's taken a little bit of break this week. I love him. I love his family. I love our pastor emeritus, Pastor McKinney, and his bride, and we're just so grateful for you. And I know we have a treat coming up real soon because you're going to get a chance to hear from you after some time. And so I don't know if I let the cat out the bag too early, but we're so grateful. It's such a blessing to be here today. I want to welcome everyone that's watching online. We thank God for you all. I know it's Super Bowl Sunday. So on Super Bowl Sunday, we do things a little different. It's Mattress Methodist, Pillow Pentecostal, Covers Cathedral. Some of y'all are in the store right now trying to get ready for the Super Bowl. I understand. But I'm grateful that technology allows us to connect with one another on today for this time where we can get into God's Word. If you have a Bible, turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 is where we're going to spend some time at today. And we're also going to look at a couple of verses in Proverbs, and I'll share a couple other verses too as we spend some time together today. Philippians chapter 1 is where we're going to start. I'm going to be using a new international version of Scripture on today so that we can encounter what the Lord would have us encounter on today. Philippians, this is a Pauline epistle, a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches of Philippi, who in this time in history were being persecuted. They had several needs, the needs for resources, and there was sick amongst them. But Philippians chapter 1, Paul gives them the Christians who are gathered in these churches, he gives them some advice. Some things that he needs them to understand. And we're going to look at these things today in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. The scriptures are on the screen for you. It says, "And this is my prayer," this is the Apostle Paul writing, "that your love," everyone say love, "may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight." Verse 10, "so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Verse 11 says, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. If you're taking notes today, I want to use for a subject, wise love. Wise love. If you want to do a subtitle, our love has gotten stupid. It's going to be our subtitle today, wise love. We know Tuesday. Tuesday is supposed to be the Super Bowl of love, Valentine's Day. Yeah, you either got a love-hate relationship with Valentine's, I understand. Some people love Valentine's Day, and some people love the day after Valentine's Day because it's over and they can get discounts on candy. And so that's some of the people just waiting. They just waiting to Wednesday. Let's just let Wednesday come. We can get past Tuesday. But wise love, you know, love in our culture has fallen on hard times. It's fallen on hard times. And the reason why is because we've minimized love to a silly response to our feelings. That's how we conceptualize love in our society. Love has become in our society about how we feel, our emotional response to a matter. And we just use the word love so flippantly. You say all types of things, you know, I love fried chicken. We just say, you know, I love that car. I love that movie. And we just minimize love to a like. But the Bible teaches us that love is so much deeper than how you feel. It's deeper than just what you like. And today, I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about romance and things like that. You can deal with that on Tuesday if you want. But the reason I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about romance is because some of us can't get romance right because we don't understand the essence of love. And so when you have a problem loving one another, loving other people, you're always going to have challenges in romantic relationships. So what we need to do is, as opposed to focusing all our energy on how to get romance right, we need to focus our energy on doing, getting right what we've been called to do, and that's to love one another. Love is so important. It's an important concept. It's not just an important concept, but it's important that we understand the true essence of what God has intended from love. And we don't just operate with ignorance or stupidity in the way that we show and express love. Love is fallen on hard times. It's not what it used to be. And so the Apostle Paul understood this thousands of years ago, even before we got into our culture and our generation today, where we, like I said, use love so flippantly. Now it's just something cool to say. You know, we see our friends or after we see a relative, we say, "Don't forget I love you." But our actions don't always show that. We've minimized love down to just words that we say, songs that we sing, hearts that we give on Valentine's Day. We've cheapened love. And we don't even really understand what it looks like to love. And, you know, here's the sad thing about it, is that this is extremely impactful in our church community, in the Christian community, in the ecclesia, the connecting with one another. It's extremely impactful there. And this is why the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Philippi, and he says that out of all the things you are going to, in verse 9 of Philippians chapter 1, out of all the things you are going through, y'all are going through hardships, you're going through financial challenges right now, you're being persecuted, out of all the things you're going through, he said, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. And now, I would think that Paul would say, I pray that resources come your way. I pray that justice is given. I pray that you will stop being persecuted. But Paul doesn't pray for any of those things in this moment. He says, I pray that your love will abound more and more. Will abound more and more. How, Paul? He says, in knowledge and depth of insight. He says, in knowledge and depth of insight. There is a Greek word being used for knowledge here that at work literally means the character of God. The character of God. Paul, he doesn't say, I pray that your love will abound more and more in the way you feel. Because love is deeper than a feeling. He says, he doesn't say, I pray that your love will abound more and more in your romance, because love is deeper than just romance. He doesn't say, I pray that your love will abound more and more in just your connection with people, because it's deeper than that. He says, I pray that your love will abound more and more in knowledge. And this Greek word literally means the character of God. That's what the Greek word literally translates. We do sometimes a not so great job in our English translation of the Greek. But here he says, I pray that your knowledge for God, the character of God, we know about the character of God from Psalms 34, right? This says, taste and see that the Lord is good, right? And so he says, I pray that you understand God more. Why? Because if you don't understand God's character as it relates to love, you will never understand what it looks like to love one another. He says you have to understand God more and more. If you ever want to know what it looks like to love someone else, just look at the way that God loves you. I know we get real self-righteous because we come to church and we put our little good clothes on, put a good shoes on, things like that, and we think we got it all together. But I'm talking about when you are in those moments when you're really, really broken. I'm talking about when all hell breaks out in your life, and some of it is your fault, right? That God still loves you. He still expresses grace for you. He despite what you have done, what you have said, where you are going, God still wants to be a part of your life. He says, you need to understand how God loves you if you want to understand how to love other people. He says, so I want you to understand the character of God, that your love will abound more and more in the depth of, he not just says knowledge, but he says also in the depth of insight, is what verse 9 says. The Greek word that's being used for depth of insight really translates to moral perception. Moral perception. In other words, moral perception is the ability to know the right actions in any given situation. That's what moral perception is, that you know what to do no matter what the circumstance calls for. And so he says, if you're going to abound more and more in love, you not only need to know how God loves, but you need to know what to do in the right circumstances. Because see, here's the thing about love. Anybody can love when everything is going good. If we have no problems with the First Corinthians 13 passage, you know, love is patient, love is kind, and it's on all the Valentine's Day cards. I know y'all already got it spelt out. You done put it on your little kids' things and everything. It's on the wall in your house, it's in a picture. We know all those different things about love is patient, it's kind, it's long-suffering. We know all that type of stuff. We're familiar with it, right? But and that stuff is good when everything is good. It's easy to be patient with someone when they're on time. You ain't got no problem with that. We good. It's easy to be kind to someone when they're kind to you. That's easy. You don't need to be tested in it. It's easy to give goodwill to a person when they've been good to you. But having depth of insight means that at the end of the day, we know how to morally do the right thing when the wrong things are happening to you. Now, that's a different type of love. Because how do you love someone? How do you be patient with someone when they're not on time? When you've been waiting for hours? How do you be kind to someone when they ain't thoughtful about you? How do you show goodwill to a person when they ain't been good to you? And Paul says, if you're going to abound more and more in knowledge, you got to understand the character of God and depth of insight. You got to know how to respond in the right circumstances. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, now, why is all this important, Paul? Why do we need to abound more and more in love? Well, John helps us understand that in John 13, 35. This is why it's so important, because Jesus said, this is Jesus' words here, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you what? Love one another. You see, if you want to know what the characteristic is of our faith, it's our love for one another. Love is the birthmark of a Christian. It characterizes you. It's that thing that separates us from everyone else. You know, every person has like a birthmark or a beauty mark. You got something that separates you, a uniqueness about you. And if you ever want to know the uniqueness about our faith, it's love. And I know there's different faiths out there and everybody got a different take and all that stuff and different way they connect with God, yeah. But in our Christian faith, as we follow Christ, it's our birthmark is love. That's our brand. That's our brand. That's what you will be known by. You know, in our culture today, branding is a big thing. Branding is huge. And here's the thing. We recognize brands even when there aren't even words there. We can recognize a brand. So, like, if you ever walk past a pair of shoes and you see a swoosh on the side of it, you think of what? Nike. We recognize brands. If you're ever driving down the street and you get a little hungry and then all of a sudden you see a couple of golden arches, you think of what? McDonald's. We know brands. If you ever are driving around and you thought to yourself, man, I'm all out of this detergent, and you see a little red dot with a red circle around it, you think about what? Oh, yeah, y'all going to Target after the service. I already know. You think about Target. It's the brand. You don't need no words. You just see it and you recognize it. If you ever see an upside-down peace sign on a car, you think about what? Mercedes. I know this church. I seen a couple in the parking lot. I already know how y'all roll over here. You think about Mercedes. You don't even need words. If someone gives you a good cup of coffee and it has a little mermaid on the side of it, you think about what? Starbucks. No shade to the Dunkin's fans. No shade to the Dunkin's fans. I got a Dunkin's fan in my life, so no shade to the Dunkin's Donuts folks. But you think about Starbucks, right? I mean, if you ever see a half-eaten apple or a partially eaten apple on the side of a phone or something like this, you either think about Adam and Eve in the garden, or you're going to think about what? Apple, the company. You're going to think about your iPads, your phones, your tablets, and things like that. Brands are huge in our society. When you see a Christian, you should automatically think about love. That's your brand. You are in, as my friend, the national president and CEO of Volunteers of America, Mike King, says, you are in the love business. That's what it's all about. You should be marked with love. So Paul says you need to abound more and more in love because that is your birthmark. That's your brand. That's who you are. And you don't need to be known by your fancy outfit. You don't need to be known by the hymns you sing. You don't need to be known by the way you play the tambourine. You don't need to be known by anything. If you want to be known by anything, it needs to be love. That's your brand. That's why this is so important. This is not important just for the sake of so that we can have better relationships. This is important because we ought to be known by our love for one another. So Paul says that you got to abound more and more in this love in verse 9. He says you need to abound more and more. You need to understand the knowledge and depth of insight about this. And it's about knowledge and depth of insight because it's not a feeling. In fact, if you don't remember anything that I say in this message today, I want you to remember this one thing, and it's going to come on the screen for you, and that is that love is not about how you feel. It's about what you do. Love is not about how you feel. It's about what you do. Love is not about how you feel. It's about what you do. If love was about how you feel, none of us would even be here. You ever thought about that? You don't make God happy by the way we act. He sometimes is furious with our behavior, but he still loves us. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love to us. We got to understand this. It's not about how you feel. You're not going to always feel happy about people. You're not going to always feel good about them. But guess what? You're called to still love them. Love is not a feeling. We've cheapened it. It's fallen on hard times because we've cheapened it down and minimized it down to a feeling. And it's not about how you feel. It's about what you do. What are you going to do to show your love? That's why he says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, that so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. In other words, you got to discern what you are going to do. That's what love is all about. It's making a decision to do something that's going to be pure and blameless so that on the day that Christ will judge all of us, he will say, you know what, despite how they felt, despite what they wanted to do, they chose to do the right thing. That's what love is about. Now, you think to yourself, okay, well, you know, choosing to do the right thing, you know. Verse 11 says this. He says, filled with the fruit of righteousness, that's doing the right thing, that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. And we know that. We understand what that means. And like I said, it's the whole 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, love is this. We understand that. But how do we have wise love when the circumstances aren't right? You see, it's not about just knowing what to do, it's about knowing what not to do. That's where we need to spend more time at. We know what to do. We all know that. We know what love looks like. We've experienced it. But how do I choose wisdom in my love when the circumstances aren't right? When I got to love someone that I don't like? When I have to love in a moment when I don't feel safe, when I don't feel secure, what do I need to do in those moments? How do I operate with wisdom in the way that I love? And if we're going to learn this part of the picture, then we got to go to one of the wisest men who ever walked the face of the planet, King Solomon. In Proverbs chapter 3, King Solomon gives us some real quick advice. He gives us some real quick advice about love in Proverbs chapter 3. You should read. We're not going to go through the whole chapter. I'm just going to pick out a couple of verses. Read the whole chapter when you get a chance. But Proverbs chapter 3, this is what you're going to do. If your love is going to be wise, I'm going to give you three things from Proverbs chapter 3. Three really, really quick things. We're not going to spend time. We're going to close out because I know y'all got to get the last minute shopping done. And yeah, y'all went off when Target came on the screen. So, you know, I know you've already did your Target pickup order and all that type of stuff. I know you got to get there at a time. I understand how this goes. So we're going to do this real quick. I'm going to give you three things. If you're going to operate with wise love in any circumstance, King Solomon helps us understand this. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3, he says this. He says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Love and faithfulness, let it never leave you. It always has to be with you. Always has to be on them. He says, in fact, it should be so clear, this brand, bind them around your neck. We always carry the little cross pieces around our necks, right? Well, he says, bind them around your neck. In other words, it needs to be on you. So that every time someone sees you, they see this brand. Write them on a tablet of your heart. Why do you have to write them on a tablet of your heart? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the what? Mouth speaks. So in other words, it needs to flow out of your mouth, but it can't flow out of your mouth unless it's written on your heart. He says in verse 4, he says, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. In other words, you won't just have a good reputation in God's sight, but you're going to have a good reputation in the sight of the people that you walk along with. But you got to make sure that love is covered. Well, Solomon, how do we do this?
How do we do this? How do we do this, Solomon?
Well, he gives us three things. I'm going to give you these three things real quick. Skip down to verse 27, Proverbs 3:27. This is what it says. It says, do not, here's the first thing, do not withhold good, everybody say good, from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to act. Verse 28 says, do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you, when you already have it with you. If you want to understand wise love, here's the first thing you need to understand. That wise love doesn't withhold good. Wise love doesn't withhold good. What Solomon is painting a picture here is of an individual who has the ability to help somebody in need, but decides to withhold this ability because they don't feel up to giving it to them at that moment. Y'all looking at me like y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all understand how this is. Somebody has a need for you, and you say this, I can't help you today. I can't help you. Come holler at me next time. I'm going to get you next. You know how we so trained to say this stuff. People say, we at the cash register, and they say, would you like to donate to whatever the industry is? And you say, what? Not today. Like, you're going to come back next time and do it. So they should just start asking us, so what day is a good day for you? That's how they should start responding. We say, not today. What Solomon says is that if you want to show love to somebody, you got to give it to them. You got to help them with their need. Then, in that moment. And see, this is the thing about us. We don't want to help one another out. Because we start thinking about the fact that, you know what? I got needs I need to meet. Shoot, I might have a need for this later. And we don't want to lend nothing to nobody. We don't want to help roll our sleeve up and help one another out. And he says, if you're going to get good at this, you can't withhold good. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. We especially withhold good when we're in our feelings about something. Think about it. You real quick to make the kids dinner and lunch and make your spouse lunch and put the plate and play the thing. But when you ain't feeling them in that moment, you can go ahead and get your plate. You can go ahead and get it. Shoot. And get your own. You all offering stuff. You so nice and you all generous and stuff. You all bringing stuff when everything is good. Let you be in your feelings. You ain't doing nothing. When you like your job, you all giving extra time. They got to push you out the office. When you don't like your job, you think, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to work from home today. They can miss me with it. We terrible. But love says that we go beyond our feelings to give good. That's what love is about. Now, here's the thing that we miss. Go back to verse 27. We missed this. It says, don't withhold good when it's in your power to act. Now, this is important, and I have to help us understand this, okay? Because we all know that we have to sometimes make sacrifices. That's important, to make sacrifices. But sometimes we go beyond a moment of sacrifice and we put ourselves in some precarious situations in the name of love. And let me tell you something. In those moments, I don't know that it's really love anymore. I think at those moments, it turns into people-pleasing. We have to be careful about this. Because love is not about people-pleasing. Let me tell you why. People-pleasing is all about making yourself look good. Because I don't want to look bad in their sight. And so now what we're doing, we're pushing ourselves beyond our capacity in order to look good for somebody else. That's not love. It says when it's in your power to act. When you have the capacity and the ability, there are going to be some times that you don't have the capacity to act. And we have to humble ourselves enough to say, you know what? I just don't have it today. I literally just don't have it
to give. So I'm not going to put myself in a worse position. I don't need to be telling nobody's business, but one of my family members had called me and said, hey, can I hold something to payday? Because, you know, and I said, no, you know, that's cool. You can hold it. I don't mind loaning you money, and you give it back to me when you can. And let me just tell you something. You never loan money that you expect to get back, just by the way. Let me just be honest with y'all. No, that's real. I'm just trying to help y'all out. Just trying to help you out. It's important. If you're going to give somebody money, just you need to operate with the fact that I'm giving this to them. I'm giving it to them. They give it back to me, then that's a blessing. They may not give it back. But anyway, my family member said, I need to borrow some money. This is what they said. Yeah, I need to borrow some money because I loaned somebody else some money and they didn't pay me back. Why did you give them money if you knew that you didn't have it to give? Why would you put yourself in that? And I say, because here's the thing. We have a problem of saying no with no to people. We just don't like saying no. We're yes people. Oh, yeah, I can do that. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, I'll be there. But that's not love. Stretching yourself beyond the capacity is not love. You operate within love when at the end of the day you say, I have this to give and I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to hoard it just because I have it. So love, if you're going to be wise with your love, you don't withhold good. You don't withhold good just because of the way you feel, and you don't give too much when you don't have it to give. You make a sacrifice. That means that you release it. You could hold on to it, so I sacrifice it. I give it to you. But when I don't have it to give, what am I going to do? So now you out on the street, but everybody else taken care of? Okay, let me get off that, because I want to spend some time there, because we just don't make sense sometimes. You done given to everybody. You done give. Everybody done got hooked up, but you ain't taking care of yourself. That's a lack of self-love. The Bible says it like this. He says, why worry about the plank in your neighbor's eye or the speck in your neighbor's eye when you have a plank in your own eye? In other words, look in the mirror, take care of yourself, so that once you're taken care of, you have the capacity to love others. Don't withhold good. But he goes on, Solomon goes on in verse 29, and this is what he says. He says, do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. He says, do not plot harm against your neighbor. Premeditated stuff, right? Verse 30 says this, do not accuse anyone for no reason, premeditated, when they have done you no harm. If you want to understand what wise love is, you got to understand this, that wise love is not vindictive. That's the second thing. Wise love is not vindictive. Wise love is not vindictive. You ever want to know how to love a person? It's not well. This was Solomon's, the picture Solomon is trying to paint here. So Solomon wants us to understand that sometimes people are going to do some things to you and I. They're going to do some things to us that, you know what, we don't like. They're going to do some things to us that we wish we can get back on them for. We wish we can take revenge. Now let me tell you something about revenge for us. Revenge for us is not just doing, you know, doing what they did to us and just kind of giving them back the same energy they've given to us. That's not revenge for us. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But revenge for us is when we take it to a whole new level. Somebody says, your mother, and you say, well, your whole family. You know, that's revenge for us. We don't want them just to pay, but we want them to pay more. We don't want them just to pay for what they've done, but we want them to pay with interest. And that's what revenge is. We don't want to just get them back. We want to really get them back. And he says, if you're going to love your neighbor, if you're going to love somebody, you don't plot harm against them. You're like, yeah, oh, yeah, I got you. Oh, you're going to just throw that in my yard? Okay, watch this. Watch this. Oh, yeah. We mess around and throw the whole trash can in their yard because we just...
It's we want to get them back to a whole nother level. And if you're really going to understand how to love someone and get in the habit of this, you can't go approach love with this vindictive type of mindset. We want to make people pay for the rest of their lives what they did in a season of their life. It's just terrible the way that we approach people when it comes to this. They did one thing, and we want them to pay forever. But if you're going to operate with wise love, you can't be vindictive. That means, in other words, you got to understand that it's not just about vengeance in your mind. That's not your place. You let God take care of them. You continue to love them. This is not natural. And the Bible says if somebody slaps you, then turn the other cheek. Whoa. It's just not natural. But if we're going to love on this level, we got to understand that we can't. It can't be about vengeance. It can't be about give back. In fact, verse 31 says this. It says, do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways. In other words, you start looking at people and you start saying things like, man, they are so, I wish I can be just like that. Well, I wish I can treat you just like that. I wish I can do to you just what they did to you. In fact, we study violent people. We study people. That's part of the problem. The part of the reason why we can't love is because we're looking at the wrong example and the wrong model. And so we study this type of foolishness. We look for love on Love and Hip Hop. That's how we're going to love people. I don't even know if that show still comes on, whatever the reality show is that you watch. That's why we want to look and use everybody in the drama-filled world as our example of love. But God should be our example of love. We need to study him. We can't be vindictive. He says, he goes on to say in verse 32, he says, for the Lord detests the perverse, but takes the upright into his confidence. And so in other words, you know what? He detests that type of response when harm is done to you. So the third and last thing that we got to understand, if we're going to understand the importance of love, wise love, is that wise love doesn't retaliate. You see, wise love is not about a response. Wise love is about the choice to do what's right. It's not about just responding. You're not going to just withhold good when you have it. You're not going to plot and be vengeful. And you're not going to just respond. In other words, you're going to monitor your response to respond the way God would respond. The idea is to reflect him in our interaction with others. I think one of the most talented actors of our time right now is Jamie Foxx. And Jamie Foxx, he is extremely talented. He's a talented individual. And I think one of the greatest displays of his talent was a movie that he did called Ray. Anyone, y'all seen Ray? Came out, I think, like 2004, 2005, years ago or whatever. But it was a great, where he played the iconic singer Ray Charles in the movie Ray. Let me tell you something. He ended up winning an Academy Award for this. But if you ever seen talent, this man looked and acted just like Ray Charles. I mean, it was mind-blowing. He had the whole little twitch like Ray Charles. I mean, he looked everything just like Ray. He sang like him. I mean, it was amazing how he imitated this man so well. The entire movie. He didn't ever snap back into his natural character. He stayed in character. I mean, it was phenomenal. But I did an interview with Jamie Foxx about how he went about doing this. And Jamie said in this interview that he studied Ray Charles more than he studied the script. Now, that was mind-blowing to me. Because in my mind, if you're going to do well in this movie, you need to study the script. But he said he spent more time studying Ray Charles. He spent some time with him. Ray Charles ended up dying, I think, the same year the movie came out. But before he passed away, he spent some time with Ray. He watched old videos of Ray Charles. He listened to his music. He talked to people about what Ray did. He studied Ray Charles because he understood that if he knew Ray better, that he would be able to play the role better. Y'all gonna miss this. Y'all gonna fail this class today.
You see, at the end of the day, you have to study God more. You have to study him in and out, in and out. You have to know his character. You have to understand this, because if you understand God more, doing these three things will come natural. Because God doesn't retaliate. He doesn't seek vengeance. He doesn't withhold good. You don't deserve good, but he doesn't withhold good. The more you study God, the better you're going to be. It's all about getting as close to God as possible. Let me close with this. You want to understand wise love. You know, y'all may have heard me share this before, but in our solar system, when I was in school, years and years ago. But in the solar system at my time, it was nine planets. It was nine planets in our solar system, and the planet that was closest to the sun was a planet called Mercury. I think it's still that way. For all the people that's in science, all teenagers, you probably know that. And at the time, the planet that was furthest from the sun was a planet called Pluto, right? And Pluto was furthest from the sun at the time. Now I think they've learned that Pluto was just a moon of another planet or something like that. I don't know, but that's the way it worked. Now, Mercury, because it was closest to the sun, the S-U-N, was burning hot year-round. It was burning hot. Then Pluto, because it was furthest from the sun, it was freezing cold year-round. Year-round, because it was furthest from the sun, the S-U-N. It's furthest away. Now, most of us, I learned, lived on a planet called Earth. I think we all live here, right? And Earth, as we know, is close enough to the sun to be burning hot some days, but it's also further enough away from the sun to be freezing cold some days. But it's all about proximity to the sun. And let me tell you something. When it comes to your love can be freezing cold some days. And it can be burning hot some days because of your proximity to the sun. Not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. It's all about how close you get to God. So if you want your brand or your mark of love to look like love, you got to get as close to God as possible so that you can be burning hot with love year-round. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you for our time together on today. And I pray that you would draw us close to your spirit, that we would get as close to you as possible so that we can reflect love in all we do. I pray that we would understand what love isn't, that we would know that even no matter what the circumstances, that we won't withhold good, that we won't plot to just get back at people, that we don't won't just respond and retaliate. But I pray that we would show love in all we do. And so, Lord, God, draw us into your heart. Help us to understand your character so that we can have wisdom in the way that we love, that we would grow in knowledge of you, in depth of insight, depth of understanding, moral perception, that we would grow in that, that we would get past what we feel like doing and that we would do what you've called us to do. So as we approach this week that we express love, pray that we won't minimize it down to just romance or how we feel in a moment, but that we would understand what love really is. It has to reflect you and your character in all we do. Allow us to be burning hot in our love for one another. You've called us to do this. It's our mark. We're going to be so grateful, and we're going to be careful to give you all praise, honor, and glory for what only you can do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I pray your heart was blessed by the word today. What an amazing time. Look, if you're here watching us online, we're so glad you joined us today. But I'm more glad that if you made a decision to accept Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, If you pray the prayer to accept Christ as Savior and Lord of your life today, look, we want to partner with you. We want to connect with you to help you grow in your relationship with God. And though you're at home, look, we can still connect and we can still be there to help you hold your hand and walk with you on this new walk in your new relationship with Christ. So there's some ways that we can do that. Number one, you can just simply text the word next, meaning what do I do next? I've prayed this prayer. I've accepted Christ. What's my next step? Well, text the word next to this number, 301-804-2520. If you text the word next to that number, 301-804-2520, we'll send you some information over the next 30 days to kind of help you grow in your relationship with God. And also, we can connect with you to help walk with you and give you some encouragement in your new relationship with him. Also, if you want to, you can go right to our website at encounterchurch.net/next. And when you go there, a form will be there for you to put your contact information and then also the decision that you made to indicate the decision that you made. And then someone will reach out to you and connect with you. Look, you may have made a decision to accept Christ for the first time. I'm so excited and want to say welcome to the family of God. Or you may say, Pastor, I've accepted Christ in the past. I want to make a decision to recommit my life to Christ. You can do that on that form as well. If you're watching me today and you say, Pastor, I'm looking for a church home and I've been connecting with Encounter Life and I just feel like home. I want more information on how I can make this my church family. Please let us know on that form as well. And if you're just in need of prayer, we want to be able to pray for you and encourage you so you can let us know that. Look, I'm so thankful that you joined us today. And I'm also thankful for those of you who are watching online who've been supporting us with your prayers, but also with your financial gifts. We do not take it lightly, and God has been faithful to us, and he has used you to accomplish his work, and I just thank you for that, and I'm looking forward to God doing even greater and using your resources to do that, because he's got great things that he wants us to accomplish to allow us to continue to impact this world, impact this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to continue to give, if you want to support this ministry with your financial gifts today, you can do it in the old school way by sending it in the mail here to Encounter Life Church at 2200 Colbert Drive in Temple Hills, Maryland. You can do that. The zip is 20748. Or you can use Cash App, the $ Encounter Life, or you can give right on our website at encounterchurch.net/give. And finally, we're in this technology age as a way that you can give. By text to give. You can just text the word give to 301-804-6710 and you can give to support the ministry here at Encounter Life Church. Thank you. Thank you so much for all of your love and support. And my prayer today, that's why we call ourselves Encounter Life Church. My prayer is that you had an encounter with God, because I know once you encounter his presence, you'll discover your purpose and experience his power in your life. I look forward to you joining us again next week. God bless you guys. Love you.